This is the fourth sermon in our series on the Beatitudes. And today we're going to be talking about blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. And blessed are you when you are persecuted because of righteousness, for this is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And this word does not mean just the absence of the negative, but it means everything which makes for a man's highest good. William Barclay notes that in this beatitude, the blessing is on the peacemakers, not necessarily peace lovers. Jesus is not teaching peace at all costs. And how many times do you run across people that want to make peace at all costs? They compromise. This means people are not taking action when it's needed, and it includes people that won't face situations and take care of them at the time. Biblical peace does not come from avoiding issues, but from facing them, dealing with them, and conquering them. So think about those three words: face, deal, and conquer. In the Greek, peacemakers are equated with sons of God. In other words, a man who is a peacemaker is doing God's work. We serve the God of peace. Blessed are the men or people who make this a better world to live in. But there's another issue to this peacemaker. It is the spiritual sense. And it might go this way. Blessed is the man who makes peace in his own heart and his own soul. Blessed is the man or woman or person who has made his peace with himself and God. For that person, there is no inner conflict, no division. They're single-minded. You know, we all have some inner conflict between good and evil pulling at us. You know, it's like the commercial you see with the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other. And they're both whispering in your ear, trying to pull you in that direction. Well, the person that has peace is the one who wins the battle over evil. Inner peace comes along with that. Barclay helps us to take a look at the interpretation that the Jewish rabbis would have. They believe that the highest task which a man can perform is to establish right relationships between each other. Unfortunately, there are always people who want to make trouble. Anybody know somebody like that? They cause division wherever they go. They're quarrelsome. But blessed is the person who wants to bring healing, remove bitterness, and bridge the gap between people. Brown reminds us that peacemakers seek to reconcile people with God. In 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 21, Paul says, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. Praise God. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That's you and me, all of us sitting here this morning. All of our brothers and sisters in Christ, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And it says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So we, as peacemakers, have been given the ministry of reconciliation, and we are Christ's ambassadors. So how can we grow in the art of peacemaking? Well, first of all, we need to work out our own relationship with the Lord. We need to take the time to be with Him and to have that close relationship with Him. Second, we must be honest with others and ourselves. And third, we must be willing to risk some pain in our lives. We must be willing to stand out for Christ. And as I've been talking about for the last few weeks, we need to have good communication skills. People are losing their ability to communicate one with another because of all of our electronics, the way we're texting and not calling and not talking to people face to face. We need to learn and keep up our communication. And we need to be able to persevere and not grow weary in doing good. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And we need to trust God. I want to move on to the other section. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Well, I join these two together because they both describe suffering for Christ. Jesus does not leave any doubt in our minds that what we will face, and that we will face issues and persecution if we choose to serve Him. He does not promise us a rose garden. He tells it like it is. If they rejected Jesus, there's a strong chance we will be rejected. Many Christians have the idea that when you're a child of God, you're above the problems and issues of life. That is a lie. And if someone's told you that, they're lying to you. That's not at all what God promises us. He promises that we will have persecution, most likely, but He'll be with us through all of it. He calls us to pick up our cross daily and follow Him. Does that sound to you like it's going to be a cakewalk? No. Today, we are the witnesses of Christ to the world. We are His conscience to the nations and to the society. We know what happens when itching ears don't hear what they want to hear, and they try to silence the sound. You know how it goes. La 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 la, stop talking. Put your fingers in your ears and you don't want to hear it. They don't understand that if they would hear the word of God and do what it tells them to do, they would have peace in their lives and hearts and be ears to the kingdom of God. So when people don't hear what they want to hear, it pricks their conscience. And that's when persecution begins, because they want to stop you from talking. So what kind of persecution are we going to see, or do we see? First of all, it says we'll be insulted. You might be told you're a fanatic, a crazy. How could you possibly believe all that stuff? As Nancy shared with us last week, people are saying that the Bible is not divinely inspired. It's just a bunch of words on a page. And we know different. The Word of God is alive and active and is still relevant today. Christians today are still undergoing physical persecution. Our brothers and sisters are being killed for the name of Jesus. People are going to falsely say all kinds of evil about you, perhaps talk behind your back, gossip, tell lies about you. I'm sure we've all undergone some persecution, especially with our families. If we come to Christ and they don't know the Lord, they think you're crazy. They thought I was crazy. But in this day and age, there are more and more unchurched people in this country. I wrote a sermon years ago called "The Honeymoon is Over." I talked about the fact that this country was founded on Christian principles, but we have drifted away. Years ago, everyone went to church or at least took their kids to church. Now that's not the case. So we can expect that there will be more persecution from those who do not know Christ or have had no teaching at all. This world has become their God. I have so many people that come to me and talk about the fact that they are having difficulty with certain people in their lives. The question is, why do they hate me? Why don't they like me? First of all, people that are living in sin often hate people living for God. They may feel guilty being around you or uncomfortable because you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they get uncomfortable being in His presence. They may not even know why they don't feel comfortable around you. But just like oil and water don't mix, sin and the Holy Spirit don't mix. People may be jealous of you because you have a peaceful lifestyle. If they are not at peace, it may agitate the heck out of them. They may walk in a room and feel uncomfortable just because you're there. You may get persecuted at work when you won't go along with the rest of the people when they're gossiping or out drinking after work, and you don't want to go along with that. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den because he wouldn't go along with the evil of the times. Joseph was thrown into prison because he would not sin with Potiphar's wife. Barclay makes it clear that Jesus honestly did not leave any doubt about what would happen if we chose to follow him. He says he came not to make life easy, but to make men great. To make men and women really great. When we make a decision to follow Christ, it will disrupt our lives at home, at work, and our social lives. Why? Because following Christ constantly puts choices in front of us that we have to make. Will we just go along with the crowd so that we can be accepted? Will we stand for Christ even those because those around us don't understand? I want to close this morning with two thoughts. First of all, when we are suffering persecution, we are walking with the prophets and martyrs that walked before us. As the old Christian hymn, "Onward Christian Soldiers," goes, "Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod." Isn't that a great thought? When we take our stand for Christ or walk ahead of others, we make it easier for those that are following us. If you have ever walked in deep snow, it's easier to follow someone and step in their footsteps. You know what it's like? You sink in up to your knees and it's so hard to walk, but if you're the person behind that person, you just step in their footsteps. And it makes it much easier. And then that's what we're doing. We're following the saints that have gone before us. And finally, we must remember that we're never alone. The Lord is always with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. He has called you. He will equip you. He will be with you. And He will never, ever leave you. Amen.